Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
And welcome to another hour of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I'm Brady Wright, my co-host Shane Osborne, the guru of all things mechanical, and Steve, the producer, Johan, the only guy on the planet who owns an autographed Gene Winfield bobblehead doll.
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen, back to the blacktop is first. We check out the latest happenings in the automotive world, and before you jump into the stuff that I know you have, very quickly, after our show last week, when Armand Johnson and Damon Lockwood came up from the Cadillac dealership and talked about the Super Cruise feature on the CT6,
yep.
They called me up that Sunday and said, come down and drive it. We have one.
Ooh.
So we've got a video. It's in production, and I'll post it on the website as soon as I'm done with it. It was a fascinating experience, I want to tell you. What a ride. Cadillac, you know, they're headed for the premier spot in luxury American sedan field.
Oh, yeah.
And this car, you know, this gets you right there. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So that's up. That's coming up. Steve, what do you got?
Well, I've got a number of things. Speaking of Cadillac, not Chrysler, by Cracky, GM plans to go 100% renewable energy by 2050. General Motors continues to expand its use of alternative energy to power up its factories in the U.S. and abroad.
Nice.
Michigan, being where they are located with their main plants, moving from what is described as brown energy to renewable energy, specifically electricity generated by new wind farm to power two factories, key factories in Flint, Michigan. General Motors Flint Metal Center and Flint engine operations will come entirely from energy produced by Koss Winds Energy Park 2.
Oh, nice.
Located in Michigan's Thumb region to the east of Flint. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I think it's wonderful. If you can self-power and you have that wind and there's enough of it going on, geez, that's a wonderful thing.
That's amazing. A wind and solar powered factory that makes fossil fuel operated vehicles. I love that.
I do too.
It is. It's awesome.
Maybe they say by 2050. By 2050, maybe they'll all be electric by that time.
You still need the sound. You can make an electric car. You can make it operated on magnetic. I don't care. But it's got to make
speakers.
An engine noise. Yeah, it's got to be engine noise.
Well, didn't they have for electric scooters, pizza, or something like that?
Yeah. I think we just need the Bose Chrysler Hemi soundtrack
to run
with your Prius.
To come with every car.
I think so, yeah. There you go.
That or choose your style. You could have a Porsche 911, and
sure.
You could have Audi, whatever, and McFarlane.
I'd go with the Rolls-Royce Merlin hydroplane motor,
there
personally.
You go. Oh,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
If we're going to do it.
It's the Budweiser. Yeah,
that's fine.
Well, GM Buick name tag is going to be removed from the end of the car, making a small but significant change to its 2019 lineup. It's taking its name off the back of its vehicles. First noticed by website GM Authority on the 2019 Buick Envision, the plan calls for the name disappear from all Buick vehicles, although it's unclear if that will occur for 2019 over a period of time. So
they're taking the badge off the back of the car.
Yes.
They're leaving it on the front?
Yes, they will leave it on the front.
So how will the cops know what kind of a car they're tailing?
Exactly.
See? You got to think of this
think,
stuff.
Yeah. Personally, I think it's a cost-cutting measure, don't you?
Yeah. Well, because the badges
one
are
left
40
him,
bucks.
One less thing
to
have to put on the back of a car. Oh, my gosh. God.
Well, you know, hey, you give it a try.
It is the fad out there to take all the emblems off.
It is. I've come up behind imports, and I'm like, what the heck is that car? And somebody's removed all the emblems. Now, the old ones, back in the old days, when you remove the emblems, you got two holes because they went right inside.
Well, that's what JB Weld is for.
Yes.
Exactly.
You just put that in there.
Put JB Weld, a little white out.
Rattle can over the top, and you're good.
That's what Bondo's for.
Sure.
Well, Toyota, Subaru, and Honda have been ranked as the highest in loyalty for repeat buyers. And I don't think anybody would be surprised at that, especially.
No.
They're very good in Toyota, Honda. And Subaru, I know people that love those. They will buy them again and again. And especially if you live in any kind of a climate that has a lot of snow or you have to climb hills, they're wonderful. And then Ford sales down in China. Ford Motor Company suffered another sharp reverse of fortune in China during February when it reported vehicle sales dropped 30% from a year earlier, while GM Motors continues to roll up sales. The sales drop by Ford appeared to reflect a dearth of new products as the company continued to struggle in the world's largest auto market.
Now, you win the prize for coming up with a way to include the word dearth.
Dearth.
Well, thank you to the writer for that. A dearth.
Not very many times were you going to hear that word in an automotive show, but dearth. We have a dearth of opportunities to use the word dearth.
Well, it's not a cornucopia.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Which is the opposite.
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Good news for the Mustang lovers. You guys may have seen this. The California Special is back. After a brief hiatus, Ford is bringing back the Mustang California Special in its latest special edition pony car, amps up both performance and comfort quotient.
Nice.
The GTS / CS version will join the reborn Mustang Bullet that was unveiled at the North American International Auto Show in Detroit. Yeah. That was a sweet car.
Oh, yeah. And that one's going to sell.
Oh, it's going
to. People will line up to buy the Bullet.
They will.
Yes.
What, do you know what the price point on that thing is?
No, I have not seen the price point. Have you seen
it? I bet you it's 80.
I'm going to say it's in Hellcat territory, I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure it is going to be too.
Well, the fifth generation California Special is coming out with a 2019 model 460 horsepower, 420 foot-pounds of torque out of a familiar 5.0-liter V8. So we're kicking out the horsepower in this thing.
Yeah, well, muscle cars are back. They're back in huge numbers.
They have been for about 10 years.
Yeah,
it's
but
amazing.
I mean, they're serious.
American muscle
over the
car.
Last probably 5 years, everybody has been jacking up the horsepower.
Yes,
yeah,
they have.
It's huge.
Even the, Lexus is coming out. All these guys, they're all coming out with these.
I'm sorry. Lexus.
Muscle car.
Muscle car. I'm somewhere there's not.
Lost that in translation.
It's okay. God love them. They should give it a shot, you know.
No, they're supercars. There's a difference.
All right, I'll go with that.
Okay, you're right. There are supercars.
Yes, and then there are muscle cars.
And there are muscle cars. But the muscle car territory is getting up to, what, $80,000?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's a supercar for me. Yeah. I can't afford 80,000.
Supercars are getting up over 100. I mean, look at some of the new Audis.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're talking to the top end at 250 to 300 to 400,000. So come on now.
Yep.
Well, that's not supercars. That's just silly cars.
Yeah.
That's silly money there.
Yep.
I'd love to have that silly money.
Me too.
Sure.
But I wouldn't buy the supercar. I'd buy more muscle cars.
I'd buy a 1963 Avanti.
Avanti.
I know somebody who might have one of those.
Lance would sell me his.
Yes.
Yeah. If I had silly money, he wouldn't care. He'd buy another one.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know this, but I discovered that Uber is into self-driving cars. And in select markets, it's now putting in autonomous trucks.
Uber is putting
trucks,
in autonomous trucks.
Delivery trucks, semi-trucks. According to the company, it began its program in November, including contracting with trucking companies to use its autonomous Volvo big rigs to take over loads as they traverse the state.
Uber is doing this.
This is Arizona. Yes.
Uber.
The program calls for a trucker to meet the self-driving truck at the Arizona state border, which then takes the load across the state before handing it off to a second conventional trucker for the short-haul trip. During the autonomous trip, an Uber employee rides in the driver's seat of the autonomous truck to monitor the truck, and it would only need to drive in the event of an emergency. So, folks, it's coming.
Wait a minute. Wait one second. Uber, the company that came up with the idea of individual citizens driving to make a few extra bucks, is now shooting these guys in the knees and coming up with self-driving cars.
Yep, pretty much.
Self-driving trucks.
Well, okay, so how far away is
now,
a car?
Now, for those who don't know,
that's very strange.
The trucking industry has a dearth. Drivers. They need.
You only get one more of
they
these.
They need drivers. They are in desperate need of drivers.
That's
answer
one way to do it.
To their problem. But on the other hand,
the problem is they don't let all the cars you use.
No. Et tu, Uber.
Yeah.
But Uber and trucking, it's an amazing thing.
It's an amazing kind of a world where stuff like that is going to happen. Hey, we're glad you're with us. We have no dearth of special guests.
There's three coming up.
Yeah, but that was one for me. All that's coming up, plus a story that you absolutely will not forget. All that and more ahead on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. A dearth of rust.
Hey everyone, Steve Johann here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johann. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey, you full-figure person, you want to lose a little weight? Yeah, right, sure you do. We all heard that one before. So shut up and eat all you want, because at eataway.com we offer you tips on gaining as much weight as possible through our calorie-laden tasty treats and recipes culled from amongst the most potentially weight-inducing of all foods, such as our prime-grade trotting 4-ounce marbled beef steak, contains 16 ounces of 100% pure fat, or possibly our deep-fried banana peanut butter sandwiches, a favorite of the Elvis. So come on over and eataway.com, where fat is free and calories aren't counted.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive. I'm
welcome back to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust with Brady, Steve, and Shane, as usual. Time for the windshield view, where we talk about the projects that we're doing and other people as well.
Yeah. But not the ones that got away.
No, never the ones that got away.
In fact, I have actually good news. People who've heard who've listened to us before have heard me whining about my Rat Rod project.
Yes.
And it's a labor of love. People
it's
understand these things well. But,
it's
you know,
sitting on the side of his building rusting
right now.
Well, that makes it a Rat Rod.
It's supposed to be rusty. But
it's adding that patina that
I had my very good friend George come up over the weekend. He's a seriously mechanical sort of guy. Not quite on Shane's level, mind you, but pretty close.
Right.
But he's a guy with a Super B and a Roadrunner, so, you know, I give him the pass. Anyway, he said, okay, I'm sick of you talking about this thing. We're going to put it together. So, so soon, ladies and gentlemen, a 41 Jimmy Rat Rod truck with a Buick engine is going to be on the street. We'll get
I'm
there.
I'm still looking for an ice cream box.
Okay, well, I got to find an ice cream truck.
Speaking of Jimmy's.
Cab. Yeah.
Hemmings Car of the Week.
Yes.
1956 all-original Suburban up for sale.
Oh, really?
All-original GMC Suburban, never modified except for new upholstery, carpet, and headliner. It's a California truck, clean title, period correct yellow plates. It features red paint and carpet.
Oh, I love the stripe.
It's just a basic.
That's great.
Just a basic vehicle there. And what do you think? It says it's got the windows original laminated glass where there are bubbles between the lamination.
Oh, right,
have you
right.
seen that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they delam.
Yep.
About 20 years in.
Yes, yeah. They do. Look like chrome bumpers are in above average condition, but not perfect. There's a factory style AC installed that probably did not originally come from the Suburban. And the rear seats are missing. What do you think they want for this thing? Just off the top.
Too much.
Just eight grand. No, maybe a little more.
It's probably closer to 20.
You think?
It's silly.
Cha-ching, 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 30K.
Yeah.
Oh.
You won't get that for this vehicle.
I don't think so.
Not at all.
No back seat?
No.
Rust, bubbles? Nah.
No. Well, I don't know.
I think
kind of motor?
It's got the V8, and I didn't write that
down. So small block?
Small block.
Yeah. Okay. You know, those things are nice. People do like them. They're popular. You know, it's the precursor to the K5.
But
it's an awful big top to chop, though.
It's a huge top
to
chop.
And this is original, so they're thinking you're going to want an original vehicle. And speaking of original, when Marmon Motor Company introduced
Marmon
Motor Company,
gosh.
introduced its new V16 model in 1931, the Indianapolis automaker already had two strikes against it. One, the Great Depression had decimated the luxury car sales market, and two, rival Cadillac had beaten it to the market with a V16 of its own.
That's right.
So therefore, less than 400 Marmon 16s were built before the company ceased automobile production in 1933. Of these, roughly 75 remain today, including an estimated 6 LeBaron-bodied coupes. On Friday, March 9th, 1931, Marmon 6 Coupe by LeBaron, March 9th, a 1931 Marmon 16 Coupe by LeBaron sold for, how much do you want to guess?
Easily into six figures.
Yeah, probably $400,000.
$1.05 million.
Yeah. I mean,
that we're talking unique.
Well, that's tremendous.
And it's a beautiful car.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. They're gorgeous.
You know, when
gorgeous.
when you say Marmon, you have to say Ray Haroun.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was one of the very first, he might have been the first Indy winner. And in the museum at Indianapolis, in the infield, they've got a huge museum of all those cars. There's a Marmon in there.
Wow.
It's like, really?
Wow.
It's pretty impressive.
That would be a cool place to go. Where's that again?
Indianapolis. Yeah.
Indy Speedway.
Yeah. That's like the mecca of auto. You got to go to Indy Speedway. That would be kind of a cool thing.
The infield at the Indianapolis 500 Speedway is so big that there is an 18-hole golf course in there, and you have to look for it.
Wow. Wow.
I'm not kidding at all.
Yeah, we all know.
It's pretty impressive.
Well, we've got a guest on tonight. We're going to kind of squeak him in here before we go to our break. And who might that be there?
Well, as it happens, a good friend of mine and a fellow member of the Steeds Car Club in Tacoma is a gentleman who is also very regularly featured on the show here by way of stories from the old Car Nut book. David Dickinson is joining us tonight. David, are you there?
I am.
You are. Welcome, my friend. It's an honor to talk with you in this particular context because we don't very often get a guy who's been inducted into the Hot Rod Hall of Fame. So it's nice that you're finding time in your schedule to sit down with us wee folk here.
All right.
Us minions.
The reason that we asked David on the show tonight is because we, you know, project cars are a big part of what we do. And There is a project car that is probably the most famous of all project cars. But before we get to it, I want to take just a second and ask David, you know, the old Car Nut books are really an important part of our show. You're gracious enough to let us read stories from them every week, but you're the author, and there's three books in the series. Can you give us a kind of an overview of how you got into writing those things, what that was about?
Wow. Well,
I mean, quickly, because we're going to talk more about this.
Okay, in my mind, it originally started out to be a much larger project. I was going to do a website, a social media website for old car guys that was even more special than what you can do on Facebook and all that. But it was way too big for me. And so I took what I thought might be the best element, and that's the sharing the stories.
All right, well, we're going to share a story in just a minute, but first, we're going to play a song that the story kind of started by, and I tell you, there is no more famous hot rod story at all than the story of the hot rod life.
The story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play. Well, this is the inside story, and I'm here to say I was a kid that was driving that Model A. Well, it's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up, but the Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 12 cylinders and uses them all with an overdrive that just won't stall. It's got a four-barrel carb and dual exhaust, 4-11 gears, you can really get lost. It's got safety tubes, and I'm not scared. The brakes are good, and the tires are fair. Left San Pedro late one night, the moon and the stars are shining bright. Everything went fine up the Grapevine Hill, we was passing cars like they were standing still. And all of a sudden, like a flick of an eye, a Cadillac sedan had passed us by. A remark was made, there's a car for me, but then the taillights were all you could see. Well, the fellas ribbed me for being behind, so I started to make that Lincoln unwind. I took my foot off the gas, and man alive, I shoved it down into overdrive. Well, I wound it up to 110 and twisted the speedometer cable off at the end. I had my foot feet clear to the floor. I says, that's all there is, and there ain't no more. Went around a corner and I passed a truck. I whispered a prayer just for luck. The fenders was clicking, the guardrail post. The guys beside me were white as ghosts. I guess they thought I'd lost my sense. The telephone poles looked like a picket fence. They said, slow down, I see spots. The lines in the road just looked like dots. Smoke was rolling out in the back when I started to gain on that Cadillac. I knew I could catch him and hoped I could pass, but when I did, I'd be short on gas. Went around the corner with the tires on their sides. You could feel the tension. Man, what a ride. I said, hold on, I got a license to fly, when that Cadillac pulled over and let me go by. And all of a sudden, the rod started knocking, went down in a dip, and she started rocking. I looked in my mirror, and a red light was blinking. The cops was after my hot rod Lincoln. Me and put me in jail. I called my pop to go my bail. He said, son, you're gonna drive me to drinking. You don't quit driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Well, that's the song, and we'll be right back with David with the story.
Hey everyone, Steve Johann here, producer of the Horsepower Chrome and Rust Show. If any of you have ever thought about or ridden a motorcycle, then I want to invite you to listen to a new show called World of Motorcycling, where we cover rider culture and the motorcycling world. World of Motorcycling is an informative and entertaining podcast featuring John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and me, Steve Johann. You can listen to the show at worldofmotorcycling.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Attention men, under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz drag...
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
More Horsepower Chrome and Rust after these messages.
Hey all you guys and gals, the next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau d'Ismel Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punkle Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau d'Ismel, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate, and where we never leave the lights on, because hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau d'Ismel, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau d'Ismel. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau de Smell, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
My old Welcome back to the third segment. This is the time of the show. If you're a regular listener, you know that we always feature a story from the old Car Nut book on the show. And the author is a member of the Hot Rod Hall of Fame and a member in good standing of the Steeds Car Club of Tacoma, one of the oldest existing car clubs in the area. But more than that, he's a friend. Welcome David Dickinson back to the Horsepower Chrome and Rust show, because we just had him on the other side. And David, we thought we'd have you spend a little time actually reading from your own book, The Story of Hot Rod Lincoln. So why don't you take it away there?
Well, we're going to do that in a second.
Brady's got something else he's got to say here.
We can't do it yet because we have to explain. For those of you who were listening and you heard that version of Hot Rod Lincoln that we played, it may be an unfamiliar one. It's the original.
Yes,
that
it is.
Was the Charlie Ryan version, and I chose it for a reason, part of which is in that story. But David, I know that you collected a whole lot of stories from all kinds of people to do these books. But the story of the Hot Rod Lincoln is a pretty interesting little piece of work. I know that it's a Bob Davidson story. So how'd you come upon that one?
Well, obviously I know Bob Davidson pretty well. And one day we were sitting having lunch somewhere, and I said, "Hey, Bob, let's do some stories for the old Car Nut book." And he goes, "Well, I'm not much of a writer, but if you want to come out and hang out at the shop, bring your recorder, I'll tell you some stories." Well, he did. I sat there for about 3 hours listening to Bob tell stories, and this is one of them. And it's interesting that all across America, in our own communities, are these people that not only have stories, but they're really cool stories, and they're much deeper individuals in their history. Their personal history is much deeper than you might ever know if you didn't get the inside scoop.
Sure.
So the old Car Nut book, the whole series, each story, is a way of giving you the inside look into all these people all over the country.
Yep. Yeah, there are some amazing stories in there for sure. And
definitely enjoyed it.
But I think it's fair to say there's fairly few of them that have, the cultural history, if you will, that that this particular story has. And
Well, that's probably true.
So one of the things you told me offline while we were kind of building up to this was that most of the guys involved in this story are also in the Hot Rod Hall of Fame.
That's right. Key players, obviously Bob Davidson and Dick Page. Bob consulted Walt Kaplan. And these are all old Hall of Fame members. In fact, Dick Page was the very first inductee into the Washington State Hot Rod Hall of Fame.
Right.
And each year I present, I've done it 1 year, and I'm planning on making it an annual deal, the Dick Page Memorial Rodder Award. And the first year the award went to Jeremy Love, who was mentored by Dick and also became a very good friend.
Cool.
He's got a couple of Dick's cars, and yeah, he's just a great guy.
Nice. Well, let's get into the story.
All right.
Tell us about the Hot Rod Lincoln.
All right. So this is in Bob's words, and I do the editing and smooth it out, but this is Bob's story. So
all right.
Here we go. In all the years that I was in the auto body industry, I repaired a lot of cars and met a lot of people. Because I love cars and people, it was always a thrill for me. In the beginning, I worked for what had been a one-man shop. I would come in to sand and mask the cars, and the guy that owned the shop would come in and spray them at night. We'd get some cars from off car lots and repair them and make a living. And over time, it grew and grew and grew to where it became one of the largest collision companies in the area by far. He became very successful and very wealthy. For me, it was just one of those stepping stones in life. I met a lot of interesting people at that shop. One day in about 1987, an older couple came in and got an estimate on their late model Nova. As I'm writing up their estimate, the gentleman says to me, "That's a 30 Model A up on that wall there, isn't it?" He was pointing to a picture behind me that I didn't even know was there. But it was in a nice frame and everything. I turned around and said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, it sure is." The old boy was about 70 years old, I would say. His wife was sitting on the couch waiting for him to get his estimate completed, and he says, "I've got one of those." I said, "Oh, you do? How cool is that?" He said, "Yeah, I've got a Lincoln motor in it." I chuckled and said, "Oh, like the Hot Rod Lincoln." I rattled it off just like that. He continued, not a bit swayed by my casual response. "Yes, I have the original Hot Rod Lincoln." I couldn't believe what he was saying and asked, "Did you write the song?" "Oh, yes," he replied, "a long time ago." I asked, "Well, where's the car at?" "Well, we're retiring in McKenna, and we rented a trailer there. I've got a metal garage down there, and I have all my stuff in there, and it's in there, too." Having a hard time buying into his statements, I said, "Can we come and see it?" He says, "Yeah, when I bring my car in, you can give me a ride home." So I called my friend, Walt Kaplan, who was really into music, and asked who wrote the song Hot Rod Lincoln. He knew it just like that and replied, "Charlie Ryan." I shouted, "Are you kidding me? He just left here." He asked, "Are you kidding? Where's the car?" And I went on to tell him about the guy and his wife and the car out of McKenna. About the time I hung up with Walt, my buddy Dick Page came in the door, and I told him the story and said, "He's bringing in his late model car in for repairs on Monday, and I'm going to give him a ride back home. He says he'll take me down and show me the car. You want to go with me?" Dick quickly responded, "Absolutely." On Monday, Dick was at the shop right on time, and I introduced him to Charlie when he came in. We took Charlie back to his place, anxious to make a historical barn find. Walking down to the Bentall building, the anticipation swelled in our hearts and minds. I'll never forget the moment when Charlie opened that big old door of the building and I looked in. There, in the dark recesses, the sunlight dancing over the front grill shell, motor, and faded red cowl, sat the Hot Rod Lincoln. I asked if it even ran, and Charlie told me that it hadn't been started or driven in many years. We walked around the car, looking it over. It had mattresses on it, pigeons flying in and out of it, and junk all over the place. I looked at Dick and said, "Wouldn't it be awesome if we could restore this thing and bring it back to life?" Old Charlie looked at me and said, "Oh, I can't afford that." I smiled and said, "Well, wait a minute now, Charlie. I'll get it done, and it won't cost you a dime. If you have any other parts," well, he had the taillights off the Lincoln real handy and some other stuff in boxes, and as he looked around, he told me the story right then and there. Many people have heard the song Hot Rod Lincoln. It has been recorded numerous times by various artists and will always be a part of the fabric of early rock and roll or rockabilly music. What a majority of the casual listening public doesn't know is the history of the car behind the song, or that there even was a real car. While there have been quite a few things written about Charlie Ryan and the Hot Rod Lincoln, they don't always say the same thing. But here's what Charlie told me. Charlie had a band, and they rode around in a 1947 Lincoln Zephyr from one gig to the next gig. After the guys were done playing, they'd throw their instruments up on the roof of it and head out to their next stop. Charlie was always writing lyrics down. He'd sit in the back seat, sipping on a beer or two, scribbling lyrics, and humming new tunes while they drove to the next venue. They did quite a bit of this routine after their gigs, Charlie writing songs, some of which were about the Lincoln, not putting the year of the car or nothing down, just lyrics about a Hot Rod Lincoln. The song never seemed to want to be completed, and this went on and on for quite some time. That all changed one night. On one outing, they were going from New Mexico into Texas, then into Oklahoma, and finally up the coast to California, where they rolled the Lincoln one night. Everyone got out safely, but the car was destroyed. They took it to a wrecking yard that Charlie's dad owned because it was near Bakersfield, California. The Lincoln body was taken off the chassis, and a Model A body was put on it. This is when the unfinished song took a new direction. Charlie started to add the lyrics about the Model A, and it all started to come together. The 12-cylinder engine was in its original place as he went on with his lyrics
on the new voice of it. When some of the lyrics in the song refer to a Cadillac passing them by, it had actually been the 47 Lincoln in some of the original lyrics. The references to the Model A and the Cadillac came after they rolled the Lincoln. So he told me this whole story about how they finally finished the song and a record company immediately wanted him to record it. Well, he did. Johnny Bond recorded it too, and it got on the hit parade at about the same time with both recordings. Charlie was an artist himself, but Johnny Bond was Gene Autry's sidekick, and he wanted to do the song in his own style. That recording went up right to the top immediately and drew all kinds of attention. Once in a while, Charlie would take the car and park it outside a gig like Grange Hall, where he was performing with his band, the Rough Riders, to draw attention and pull the people inside. It wasn't the car we see today or the quality you'd expect to see in a promotional car. In fact, other than a few people that saw the car at those venues that Charlie and the band played and displayed the car, most people listening to the song or the radio or records only thought of the car as whatever they conjured up in their mind. So as Dick and I stood in the garage, surveying the car, the restoration played out in our minds, we evaluated what there was and what was going to be needed, as well as who we might be able to get involved. This restoration was our way of helping Charlie, a living legend in the mind of many, and preserving the car that had become so iconic to those that knew it even existed. For others, this would begin a completely new era for the song, the car, and for Charlie and Ruthie Ryan. Charlie was certainly agreeable, but he wanted to know why this wasn't costing him anything. We reassured him that it was our way of giving back, and so he turned the car over to me and let us do our thing. Charlie just didn't realize the basic irresistible urge and the ultimate satisfaction that an old hot rodder could get from being involved in the restoration of a car of this legendary status. Everyone we approached and asked for help was anxious to get involved, and all the time, materials, and funds were donated. From new white wall tires to the paint, it was all for Charlie, and it was all given freely with nothing expected in return. We didn't take or ask for anything. Because of the nature of the build and the excitement that it generated, there was a lot of goodwill floating around, and so there was a lot of attention given to the companies that were involved. It worked out good. We took it over to Benny Jones. He had a little mechanical garage. His dad was Levy Jones, the race car driver. So he had a lot of equipment, and Benny got it all when his dad passed away. He got the 47 Zephyr engine fired up in not much time at all. After all those years, it was running. Then we went and got a hold of other people to donate their talent. Benny had donated his time and resources. Then we started the bodywork, the interior, and the remaining mechanical restoration of the vehicle. The person that did the interior, Don McLeod, got credit for the upholstery work he did on the side. Winchell's did the bodywork at their body shop on Pacific Avenue. The hood, as it was, needed to be refabbed, and so we cut and shaped the hood so it would go from the cowl to the grill shell. We also made a smooth top for it out of tin. Charlie still had the Model A lights on it, and so we removed them, took the round 49 Lincoln tail lights, and mounted them in the fenders, giving it a real neat look. The rear bumpers we put on were from a 48 Lincoln. We got a van company to donate a spare tire cover that they put on the custom vans, and I painted and lettered it to look like the 45 record label of the song. We gave it new hubcaps and put on brand new white wall tires, which it hadn't had before, and the man that donated the tires got credit for his tire company. Some of the things from the original Lincoln went on to the Model A that he wanted to incorporate but had never done. He still had all the pieces and parts, and we made a lot of it work. We put the Lincoln dashboard in it, and I lettered notes and lyrics on it. On the left side of the steering column above the gauges, I put, "Son, you're going to drive me to drinking." And on the other side, just to the right of the clock, I finished with, "If you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln."
David, we're going to take a break here right just for a second, and we're going to finish this story when we come back on the other side. So far, so good. This is an excellent piece of work. Stand by. We're going to take a momentary break here on the best automotive show in the known world, Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We'll finish the racing story with your friends and us up next.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14, 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. I realized he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad.
Oh, come on. This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil.
It only takes a moment to make a moment.
Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey, you full-figure person, you want to lose a little weight? Yeah, right, sure you do. We all heard that one before. So shut up and eat all you want, because at eataway.com we offer you tips on gaining as much weight as possible through our calorie-laden tasty treats and recipes culled from amongst the most potentially weight-inducing of all foods, such as our prime-grade 24-ounce marbled beef steak, contains 16 ounces of 100% pure fat, or possibly our deep-fried banana peanut butter sandwiches, a favorite of the Elvis. So come on over and eataway.com, where fat is free and calories aren't counted.
Hey all you guys and gals, the next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau de Smell Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punker Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late-night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau de Smell, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate, and where we never leave the lights on. Because, hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau de Smell, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau de Smell. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau de Smell, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
Welcome to the fourth segment of the show. This is Cars Confidential, and we're having a story with David Dickerson of the Hot Rod Lincoln.
That's right. We got about three quarters of the way through the story, and David was just telling us about the way the Hot Rod Lincoln was painted up. David, it's all you. Go ahead from where you left off.
All right. Well, after he Bob lettered the dash with, if you don't stop driving, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that Hot Rod Lincoln, he continues, "The chrome and stainless on the dash shine like new, and the lettering really made it all pop. It got a nice new leather interior to replace the original old ragged-ass seat that was in there and other things we could make good to make it a show car. There are pictures of all of it being built, and Rod and Custom Magazine wrote an article to show the pictures and tell the story. It was just amazing. Charlie and his wife were blown away with all of the attention, and they couldn't believe what was going on. To upgrade the car and make it more safe and durable than what had been thrown together back in the late 40s, we took care of any mechanical work. The 47 Zephyr motor wasn't rebuilt, but it got suspension and brake work and whatever else was needed. It was all done right with no corners cut. Charlie and Ruthie Ryan were amazed at how the car turned out. The redone Hot Rod Lincoln made its debut at Rock the Dock, which is down on the waterfront in Tacoma. They put the car up above, and Charlie performed with a band that he had put together out of the local union. There was a car show inside as well. It was an awesome event to introduce everybody to Charlie and the freshened-up Hot Rod Lincoln. A lot of people said, "You duplicated the old Hot Rod." we explained that this was the original Hot Rod Lincoln and not a reproduction. Even with all of the publicity that was floating around, there were a lot of people that didn't know that there was an original Hot Rod Lincoln. They took to the car to some of the big car shows like Good Guys. They bought brand new jackets to go with the theme, and at 72 years old, Charlie started to perform again on a regular basis. The magazines got a hold of this, and everything started to grow. Charlie never got so much attention in his life. Charlie and Ruthie belonged to ASCAP. He told me all about how the songwriter is paid when their song is performed or when the record is produced. That's where he got his money. And when Charlie and the Hot Rod Lincoln got debuted around this area, the radio stations were playing Hot Rod Lincoln continuously. It was unbelievable. Every channel, every station, every television was all over it. There was all of this excitement just off of what we created from the restoration and having that car available for the public to actually look at and see. The Ryans wrote countless letters and cards thanking all of the people that brought a new life to him and his wife by bringing the car to the way it was originally meant to be. They had never had the time or money to do it because they were so busy trying to make a living. He got on the television show Nashville Now, and the car was rolled out on the stage while Charlie performed. He had never done anything like that before, and it was the first time the car was ever shown to the general public on national television. The magazine coverage was amazing as well. They moved to Spokane to live after the car was done. He asked to join the Duke's Car Club, and of course, he was thrilled. In 1990, Rod and Custom magazine did their story on the Hot Rod Lincoln, including pictures of before, during, and after the restoration. Some of the photographs in the art article were sent to them by some of the workers, and of course, I gave them all the pictures I had developed from the little snapshot camera that we were using at the time. Charlie and Ruthie wrote a lot of songs. If you listen to one of their tapes, there's Sidecar Sally, and a lot of others. Ruthie was a heck of a writer, too. Charlie never had a lot of money, and he was getting up there in years. The song, Hot Rod Lincoln, might live forever, but Charlie knew he wouldn't. So Charlie and Ruthie gave the car to a car collector in Chicago in return for his promise to take care of Ruthie during her remaining years. Whether she was in a nursing home or wherever, he was going to pay the bills in return for that car. Charlie passed away of a heart attack in 2008. He and Ruthie had been married for over 70 years. Apparently, Ruthie has passed away because I haven't heard from her in quite some time. I used to get greeting cards from her every Christmas, but she was getting older and older. The Hot Rod Lincoln was the star of the Hot Rod, was the star Hot Rod of the 60th Detroit Autorama in 2012. And Barrett Jackson states that the car was sold at auction in January 2013 at the Scottsdale Barrett Jackson auction for $106,700.
Wow.
While Charlie and Ruthie are gone, the car is still out there somewhere, and I hope in loving hands. The song, with its iconic lyrics, is still on the airwaves and will live in the hearts of many forever.
That is an awesome story.
Well done. Well said. Thanks for putting that thing together for us to... You put it all together in a book so that we all have the actual words of the builder.
Yeah, and thanks to Bob Davidson for chronicling all of that and getting it to you, too.
Yeah, and let me just throw something in real quick.
Sure.
You know, Bob gave me all kinds of pictures to go along with the story and everything, but... sometimes details get lost. And one of those details that got lost was a photo credit.
Oh.
And on the cover of book two is the Hot Rod Lincoln.
Right.
And standing there is Bob Davidson pointing at the engine, and there's a couple other people there with him. But somebody that's missing is Dick Page. And that's because Dick took the photograph.
Oh.
And I didn't know that. And so I didn't give him credit for the cover.
Well, here's how we're going to fix that. We can take care of Dick in absentia. We're going to put this information, including the picture from the front of the book, on the website and the Facebook page following the show when we get it posted up in a couple of days, and I will make sure that Dick Page gets credit for having taken that picture.
Excellent. Excellent.
And as we always say, whenever we do one of your stories, special thanks, you know, to David, as the author of the Old Car Nut book. I mean, this is one of the most impressive three-book series that Amazon ever deals with. You can find it at theoldcarnutbook.com. You can get it through Evan Court Press. Of course, it is available on Amazon as well. And as we always say, there's three books in the series, and they do make a super gift. Mucho thank you to David Dickinson for coming and sitting in, my friend.
One more thing, may I say?
Yes, sir, absolutely. We're just got that much time.
Okay, well, these stories are all written by people all over the country, you know, and so I always decline the title of author of these books, because although I've got a few stories that I've included of my own, I'm not the author. I am the creator and editor and publisher of the books, but everybody else gets the credit.
I agree.
I couldn't have done this alone.
Magnificent. Well, my friend, again, thank you very much for reading the story. I couldn't have done it anywhere near that well. And as we always say at the end of this particular segment, the weekly trivia question is coming up. We have a winner this week. We got a hint at next week's show. And extra special thanks to David Dickinson, our guest for the show. This is our 24th show, and somehow that's
pretty
appropriate
cool.
That you should come along. Take care of your voice, my friend.
Thank you for having me on.
You bet. Yes. Good night.
All right. Put it in park, folks. Hang around. We'll be back with more Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of Sea.
Hang on till right after these messages.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377. Where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, the law firm of Ambulance & Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? You greedy sucker.
Back road, and I'll back road. Take me anywhere you want to go, back road.
With my windows down. Welcome back to the fifth and final segment of the show.
This Radio is Days.
Around the Wheel. Yes. We talk about events and rallies and club stuff and movies and cruise-ins and all kinds of good stuff. We got several things coming up. You got something, don't you, Steve?
Well, I have one recall.
Oh, that's important.
It deals with it says airbag recalls are still dominating headlines in 2018 as Hyundai announced it is recalling nearly 155,000 Sonata mid-sized cars in the U.S. because airbags may not inflate in a crash. The action covers cars from 2011 model year I'm in it. It's related to, guess what the name of the brand of the airbag is?
I'm just going to toss this out and think, is it Takata by
yes,
any chance?
Yes, it is. Oh,
those
my.
Guys, man, that company is gone. They're belly
they're gone.
Up. They can't possibly survive this.
They changed their name.
I'm sure, and sold the company.
Wow. Man, so I'm going to...
That's a tough one.
I forget what Hyundai my son has. It might be the Sonata. It's a 2018. So now this one's 155,000 cars from 2011 all the way up. And
All the way up?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
Well, design flaws can be pretty darned expensive.
We don't think about that, but as a manufacturer of cars, that is huge.
Oh, it's huge. Well, it gets QC, too. You know,
it is.
Do you not test these things? I guess. Maybe they fail under a certain amount of use.
Yep.
It's grim.
Age.
Yeah. Well, that's not good for Hyundai, but maybe.
Did you have something you wanted to say there real quick?
Well, we got the Portland Exhibition Center this weekend is the annual 62nd annual Portland Roadster Show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Three-day show. Huge.
So that'd be a big event coming up.
Huge. Yeah, that one plus on the 17th and 18th, in case you don't want to go all the way to Portland or in case you're closer to here, there's the Almost Spring Swap Meet and car show at Puyallup at the Western Washington Fairgrounds.
That one's always fun.
Always a good one. I found a really cool three-way stoplight down there on that one a couple of years ago. The 18th is Leprechaun Days in Bellingham. It's a big fun thing if you got shamrocks all over your car. It's a good one to go to. And, of course, we've already said the 24th and 25th in Puyallup is the annual Rodorama, a huge car show, custom show, and lots of things going on down there. Some beautiful vehicles. One of a kinds definitely will be showing up for that one. So mark that on your calendar. There's things coming up down the line, but we're not going to talk about them tonight. We'll talk about them at some other point. I do have the trivia question. Last week we had a marvelous trivia question that related to the cost, the budgetary cost of the American family's investment in a car. And we actually had a winner, Alice Dunbar, won on Facebook. She decided that she knew exactly what that particular feature was. Clearly she has Google. And so Alice is going to get, we have a new prize.
Right.
Yeah. So the answer to the question was, in 1974, the average American family spent 33% of their yearly income for a new car. In 95, the average was 50%.
Wow.
50% of your income for your car. So Alice scored on that one. Alice wins a bucket of barn dust.
That's right.
So she can take any car she wants, sprinkle liberally barn dust all over it, and it instantly is worth 10 times more because it's a barn find. The trivia question for next week, electric door locks introduced on several luxury models in what year? If you know, get with us on Facebook and or the Horsepower Chrome and Rust podcast site. Give us your answer and you too will win a bucket of barn dust, ladies and gentlemen.
And just for another update, I've updated our horsepowerchromeandrust.com blog and we have now been accepted on to TuneIn. So TuneIn app.
Oh, excellent.
So I will be working with Brady here in the next few days. We're going to get everything up on the Facebook and everything else.
We will be so electronic, you won't be able to believe it. That's our cue to hit the gas until next week. Thanks to David Dickinson for stopping by to share stories from the old Car Nut book. Be sure to like our website and Facebook page. Check out the archives at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Cruise on by next week for another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.